Hey fam, welcome to the Prophetic Listening Podcast, the art of hearing God's perfect will. The podcast that invites you to tune into God's guidance and discover his flawless plan for your life. I'm Michelle Honora, your host, and I'm thrilled to have you here. I'm an author, speaker, and spiritual direction coach, as well as the founder and director of the Center for Prophetic Listening. In a world filled with noise and distractions, finding clarity in God's will can be a challenge, especially if you're facing significant life transitions. Whatever challenges you're encountering, you're about to learn how to discern God's perfect will for both significant and everyday situations. So tune in, open your heart, and embark with me on this sacred quest to hear God's voice and discern his perfect will for your life. Welcome to the Prophetic Listening Podcast. Hey fam, welcome to another episode of the Prophetic Listening Podcast. So glad that you're here. Guys, I missed you. This has been my first solo episode in several weeks. For those of you who don't know, I just came back from a trip to Italy. I returned last week, and man, it was rough getting recalibrated to the US time zone. My body, the jet lag was something else. That's all I'm going to say. It took more than a week for me to start feeling like a normal human being again, which is so odd because it hardly took any effort to adjust to Italy's time zone. But it was wonderful. I went to Venice, Florence, Rome, and had several stops in between. Enjoyed a wine tasting in Tuscany, explored Bologna, Cinque Terre. It was just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Happened to meet a beautiful Italian man in one of our stops. And I can't believe I just said that. Y'all, I'm not dating him. I just enjoyed meeting him and getting to know the other lovely people of Italy while I was there. So today's episode, it's actually inspired by something that happened while I was in Italy. Towards the end of my trip, I started wearing these beautiful summer dresses that I packed for the trip. So because we left in the spring, my sister and I went to Italy this spring. We thought, okay, the weather's going to be relatively warm. It's going to be mild. Maybe bring a light jacket. We'll be fine. Wrong. Northern Italy was quite chilly, quite cold. And in Florence, it rained for the majority of our stay. So I ended up having to buy a jacket. I ended up having to wear my capri pants more so than any of the dresses. The dresses did not come out until Rome, when the weather was actually feasible for it. But the funny thing is, towards the end of the trip, when we were in Rome, I was wearing one of my summer dresses, and I look down and I see this big purple bruise on my calf, on my left calf. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, where the heck did that come from? And I touched it and it wasn't tender. It didn't hurt. And I couldn't recall how on earth I could have gotten that, because I didn't remember hitting my leg on anything. I didn't remember injuring myself. I didn't remember scratching myself. But there was this purple blotch on my leg. And for a second I thought, is this a bug bite? But I didn't see anything like that. So I just was like, wow, I must have bumped it on something and just didn't notice it. And as I'm staring at this bruise, I just hear the Lord say, you bruise easier than you think. I'm going to say that again. He said, you bruise easier than you think. And as soon as he said that, I knew he was saying something beyond the physical bruise that I had on my body. Immediately, it was like he was speaking to my heart condition as well. When he said, Michelle, you bruise easier than you think, not only was he talking about physically what my skin can or cannot endure, but he was pointing out to me that at a heart level, I have the capacity to get hurt easier than most others. And as I was thinking about this and contemplating it, I actually thought about when I was a kid, when I was younger, and how both of my parents had told me at separate times, Oh, you're oversensitive. You're oversensitive. Like, man, every little thing. Why are you so sensitive? And I've been reflecting on that as an adult now, looking back on it and realizing that I feel like the Lord is creating space for me to embrace the highly sensitive soul that He created me to be. And I just wanted to put this out there for those of you listening, and I want you to ask yourself, do you identify with this, or do you know of somebody who might be a highly sensitive soul? And what do I mean by that? Highly sensitive souls are individuals who are sensitive to the tone of voice that someone will use when they're speaking to them. Maybe they're sensitive to word choice that's used. Maybe they're sensitive to body language and how somebody is interacting with them. Maybe they're even sensitive to how they're being treated. So there have been times when I've seen a family member treat a complete stranger nicer and kinder than they do me. And stuff like that hurts. Maybe they are sensitive to certain verbal cues or whatever it is. Highly sensitive souls have a level of emotional intelligence that others may find intimidating or disconcerting in some way, because they can pick up on things and read into things at a deeper level than the average person necessarily might. And something that is pretty universal amongst sensitive souls is that we feel deeply. We feel deeply. Now, we may be conditioned over time as we get older, as we deal with very insensitive people. We may be conditioned in time, or we may condition ourselves in time to just kind of shut down our emotions or shut down the things that we're feeling, or find ways to hide that we're feeling something very deeply. But that doesn't change the fact that at our core, we are wired to feel very deeply, whether it's joy or whether it's sorrow. And that's actually, in my opinion, a gift. It's a gift to have a sensitivity. In fact, it can be, in some ways, it can be a superpower, because some of the most empathetic people, some of the most generous people are those who are highly sensitive souls, and they can reach into somebody else's heart and massage the good out of it. Now, sensitive souls tend to hide themselves as they get older because they're often shamed when they reveal how sensitive they are as kids, as adolescents, as young adults. I mentioned this earlier, but one of the things that my parents used to tell me all the time was, "Oh, you're so sensitive. Like, why are you so sensitive?" And they would say it when I was in the middle of emotional turmoil. They would say it if I cried about something. They would say it if my feelings were hurt. They would dismiss my pain and basically tell me, "You're too sensitive. You shouldn't be reacting this way. Stop crying." In fact, my mom used to do this thing that was very painful and kind of embarrassing. She would, if she noticed that I was upset or starting to cry, she would say in this really sharp tone, "Why are you crying?" Almost like the unspoken question was, "What's wrong with you? Like, you shouldn't be crying. There's nothing to cry about. You're being ridiculous," was the message that I received from that. And what it conveyed to me when my parents would speak to me like this was, "You are too much. Your emotions are too much. And your emotions and your response is unreasonable and invalid, and there's something wrong with you. And my dad used to say this thing that really deeply bothered me. He used to say, "What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you?" And I hated when he said that. And I don't think he understood just how much it hurt me and bothered me. It used to really anger me. And it wasn't until I reflected on it in my late teens and my early 20s that I realized I really hate when he says, "What's the matter with you?" because it makes me feel like he's saying you're deficient. There's something wrong with you and you need to figure it out because the way that you are right now isn't working. How many of you have ever felt like that? How many of you have ever felt like your thoughts, your emotions, your response to things were invalidated or somehow you felt shamed because you had a genuinely emotional response to something? I'll tell you what it did to me. It forced me to shut my, not my feelings down, but it forced me to not look at them long, or in cases where I did acknowledge how I felt, it forced me to process them entirely on my own and to not talk to anybody about them, to not be vulnerable with friends, to not be vulnerable with, definitely not with my family, to just shoulder it all on my own. And even after I became a believer, it forced me, that type of treatment forced me to just take everything to God in prayer and to not disclose it to anybody else. I became very, very good at transparency and horrible at vulnerability. And some of you may be wondering, well, what's the difference? What's the difference between transparency and vulnerability? Aren't they one and the same? No, they are not. Transparency, allows you to speak the truth about what happened or the facts of what happened without disclosing the heart of how you felt about it. Whereas vulnerability is you actually sharing your heart and opening up in such a way that if the response is anything less than empathetic, it could actually create deep wounds within you. So transparency is focused on the head. Vulnerability is focused on the heart. And I think what my parents and grandparents and just other family members did in the process of shutting down any display that I gave of sensitivity was they showed me it's not safe to reveal my heart. It's not safe for me to open my heart to others. And it's not safe for me to be in tune with how I feel about things. I need to shut that part down because it's not going to be received well, and I don't have a safe outlet for it. And honestly, I'm still struggling with that to this day, to where, for example, I know that God loves me, but I know that He loves me in my head. I don't feel His love in my heart. And that's something that I'm being completely open and transparent right now. That's something that has bothered me for a long time, that I know in my head, I know academically, biblically, theologically, that God loves me because He is love, but I don't feel His love in my heart. And it's also interesting because when I am in relationship with people, I feel their love, but it's limited. I feel like, okay, they can only love me to an extent, and I need to make sure that I'm pouring and giving and being my best self so that I can fully be loved. There's a part of me that believes that every person I encounter, that their love can only go so far, and their love can only reach so deep. And so I think that if you are a parent to a highly sensitive soul or a mentor or a sibling, or you have a loved one who's a highly sensitive soul, I want to encourage you to lovingly cultivate that sensitive soul rather than shut it down. And I want to encourage you to I want to encourage you to embrace that sensitive soul for who they are, because the minute you start to shut them down, it screams to them, I'm not safe, I'm not worthy, I'm not loved. And literally, it takes an act of God to kind of unwire or rewire that messaging. It's something that the Lord is still working on in me. Now, some of you may be listening and going, well, it's not good to be highly sensitive. If you're highly sensitive, if you're oversensitive, that's a problem because you're offended by everything that everybody says. I hear you. And I actually was praying about this and thought about this as well. And the Lord pointed something out to me. He pointed out to me that there is a difference between being a highly sensitive soul and being easily offended. And I'm going to tell you what the difference is. Offense operates from a place of pride. Offense operates from a place of pride. Offense is, how dare you infringe on my comfort, my beliefs, and what I want by stating something that is contrary to what I believe. Offense is rooted in self-righteousness. And offense is a bait of Satan. Being hurt, there's a difference between being hurt by something somebody does or says and being offended by something somebody says or does. If you are hurt by somebody's actions or their words, you can process that pain. You can acknowledge that pain. There's nothing wrong with it. But then you have a choice to make. Do I confront them about that and let them know, hey, that really hurt me? And do it from a place of, I want to make amends. I want us to come to a place of reconciliation. Or do you take that hurt, transform it into anger, and go, I'm going to hold this against you, and you are now on my SHIT list because of what what you did. We all have a choice to make. We all get hurt. We all get slighted in some way, shape, or form. But we have a choice to either process it from a place of offense. And by the way, even if we get angry by something somebody does, we still have a choice. Do I hang on to that anger and let it form bitterness and become this ugly wall between me and another human being? Or do I acknowledge the anger? Acknowledge how I feel about it, ally myself in the process, and then choose to let it go because I have mastery over my emotions. And I think that's the next thing that the Lord has really been teaching me in recent years. So in my 20s, in my teens and in my 20s, I did not have very good emotional control or regulation at all. My brain was still developing, yes, but I was a hot wire, a loose cannon emotionally. And it was only in my mid to late 20s that the Lord started to teach me how to choose to be rooted in Him, sanctified in Him, and to choose peace over anything else that could threaten my walk with him and my peace. And I remember hearing a leader at my church say one time, there is nothing in this world that is worth my peace. And there's nothing that I am willing to do to give up my peace. And once I decided that I was going to be anchored in the peace of God, anything that served to disrupt that or remove it or compromise it, I realized had to go, including my inner thoughts that were not serving the peace that God gives. So I think that's the ultimate solution for a highly sensitive soul is accepting who they are, accepting how God has wired them, but learning how to operate in life from a place of peace so that the sensitivity that they carry is an asset and not a liability. The enemy will always try to use our emotions and our minds against us. But if we stand on the authority that we have in Christ, he doesn't have to win. He doesn't have to get the upper hand in our highly sensitive souls. And the more we become one in Jesus through his spirit, his Holy Spirit living inside of us, the more he sanctifies us and refines us, the more our souls align with who God created us to be in him. And we start to see how God uses our highly sensitive souls for the benefit of others and for the benefit of his kingdom. So anyway, that's just a reflection that came to me in Italy. If you are a highly sensitive soul, if this resonates with you in any way, drop a line, leave a review. Let me know if this resonates with you. And if you know of other sensitive souls, pass this episode along to them. Help them to process too. I hope this is a blessing to you guys. I will see you next week. Next week is another prophetic listening episode with a lovely, wonderful, special guest that I can't wait to introduce you to. Bye. Hey, fam fam, I want to thank you for taking the time to watch this episode. I really, really hoped that you were blessed by it. If this taught you anything about hearing God more clearly, about listening to him with other people, if it inspired you watching other people connect with the voice of God, I want to encourage you, share this show. Don't be greedy. Don't keep this all to yourself. Share this show. Let other people know about the Prophetic Listening Podcast. Share it on your social. Text a friend about it. Bring it up in conversation. Whatever that looks like for you. Also, if you could do me a huge solid and leave a review, guys, that helps increase visibility. There is nothing like word of mouth traction. So please leave a review. Lastly, if you want to connect with me on social media, you can hit me up on Instagram at TheMichelleAnora. You can also find my work, my resources, my e-courses, as well as the certification program on www.propheticlistening.com. Thank you again. Tune into the next episode. We're here every week. Can't wait to see you on the flip side. God bless.